Hello, welcome to another episode of Ricky Gervais's Deadly Serious. With me, Ricky Gervais, Bobby Kelly.
Yes.
Say hello.
Hello.
And Bill Burr.
How you doing?
I'm such an assimilator. I faked an accent.
I know.
And I wasn't noticed. A joke. I went, hello.
Hello.
Hello. So.
Yes, sir.
We're here in the. What? What's funny already?
You sound really enthused. No, I mean, I've never heard you.
We've already run out of shit to say.
We've been talking for an hour.
I know. Before Bill got here. Now, Bill was a bit late, wasn't
he? Yeah, we blew our load.
I
they called him the business.
I text you. I let you know that I was going to do this so you wouldn't be sitting there.
I shouldn't
you
have came
sat
in.
Sat down right
I should
across.
Have stayed out of the studio.
I know. People were saying, do you want to start without him? I said, no, it's rude.
No.
So it's rude. I want to take. I want him to come in. No, he was late, and I got the moral high ground.
There you go.
Say, what are you doing? You're filming at the moment.
Yeah. I've got like my usual 8 lines in a movie.
Ooh, who's being humble now?
I am being humble.
And I assume the tash is for the role.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. This is
my
choice.
I've never had a mustache.
Hate this thing.
When I used to shave.
I don't mind having a mustache. It's just because it has to be longer, the fireman style. It just gets into everything.
Yeah.
It's just
I don't shave anymore because I'm too lazy and I can't be bothered. But when I used to shave, I used to shave the mustache off first in case there was a fire. And I'd have shaved everything off, but the moustache and had to stand outside for a while because it was it's a fear. A moustache is such a statement.
So you'd rather look Amish than like a gay porn star from the 70s.
Yeah, I guess so.
I can't grow it. My facial hair doesn't connect. Like I can't grow a beard, and my moustache, it goes in too thin on the sides. So I look like an asshole. I'd love to grow a mustache.
No, you had the goatee for the longest time.
I had a goatee, but it doesn't really connect right
here. Oh, yeah,
right
you did, yeah.
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 I ruined that for a lot of people with David Brent, because that was a thing in the 90s. I always thought it was a, because I had one for real before David Brent, and I always thought it was like a bit of a fat guy beard. When you start putting on a bit of weight, you grow the goatee, and it gives you an impression of a jawline.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And something to look at. They go. Oh, I can't even see if he's a fat guy. I'm just looking at the great beard.
Yeah, it really brings your face to a point.
Well, usually on this show, because I usually record it from England with a couple of comedy chums, I have to introduce those guys to America, but I don't have to do that here because everyone knows you guys.
Yeah.
So are you both from Boston?
Yeah, we're from Boston.
He's from Boston. I'm from the suburbs. The safe suburbs.
I'm from suburbs too. Though. I'm from Medford.
Talking about, there seems to be a disproportionate amount
Mike
of.
Will just not come near me, so I gotta like set up the whole.
Oh, just lean back. Just lean back.
Can you hear him? Is he gonna be able to?
Can't you stretch that? I don't know.
It's not working. It goes down like that. Is that bad?
You've mic'd up your penis. Right. But when do you get a big cushion? Yes, we've solved.
Oh!
Well, there goes the coffee.
Okay, edit. Okay.
Oh my!
Sorry, how did that happen?
That would have been a great.
Sorry, dude. Did that get all over everything?
That would have been a great move. Bill just picked up the couch and moved it closer.
Now it works.
And right. Now.
Sorry. Oh my God, it's in all the electronics. Quick.
That's not gonna.
It's going well. It's going well.
Those. Are, what are you handing me now? No, those are liquid sealed. All those electronics are fine.
All right, the diva's comfortable now. Sorry, guys.
Sorry. Right, here we go.
This is off to a fucking gangbuster start. You're gonna get a potty for this one, right? Podcast award? Nobody? You guys?
This show won an award last week, believe it or not. What is it? The New York Festival.
Regular comedy.
It's
the worst show. This isn't even the worst show I've done. This is in the top 3 already of best shows I've ever done.
The show we did before Billy came was probably number 1 this year.
I know. That was,
that was a hot show.
Let's have a song. David Bowie and Heroes. David Bowie, Heroes on Ricky Gervais' Deadly Serious. With me, Ricky Gervais, Bobby Kelly and Bill Burr. So, yeah, we were talking about... Bostonian comics. There's a lot of them. Disproportionate amount. Why is that? Why do you think that there's so much? There seems to be, or is it just me from the outside?
No, there is. There is, and a disproportionate. I feel probably biased. Funny ones. Because not only are there a lot, then there's been a lot of funny ones. But I think it's because the guys who started the scene there were so funny, and they set the bar so high, and then a lot of them didn't leave. So then there was this policing of funny.
Yeah.
It was fucked. Like, if you weren't funny, like, there was guys, I remember from our class, they would be opening for a guy like Noxie or somebody like that. And if he didn't think you were funny, they just sent you home.
Sent you goodbye.
And this is like, I mean, this isn't like, this is just doing like like a bar gig or something.
Yeah.
This guy isn't funny enough to do a Knights of Columbus. Get him the fuck out of here. And then there was real policing on stealing of styles.
But there was also a living to be made. Like, I talked to Tony V, and I was like, why did you guys not leave? He goes, why would we leave? We created this. There was no comedy there. They created it.
Yeah.
They went to the places and said, we want to do a comedy show here. Lenny, Clark,
Gavin Sweeney,
Tony V,
Kenny Rogers,
all those guys
Frank
were like, we started
Donovan.
It, it's ours. Why are we going to give it away?
I'd also think, I don't just like to say that, I think that a lot of those comics, particularly you two and Louis, and have got attitude. And I think attitude is one of the staple things of stand-up. If sitcom is about character and films are about plot, stand-up is about having a voice, having an attitude, having a... Do you know what I mean? Having a point of view that you really fucking mean.
I said this to somebody.
Right or wrong.
You don't even need a joke if you have
attitude. If you
have attitude,
they're laughing already.
That's
exactly.
my whole act. There's no jokes in it. It's just me with my stupid attitude.
You have got a lot of attitude.
You're an asshole.
But when,
shut up. Let me tell you something about Burr. He's one, and it's weird because I've seen him years ago.
He's on my payroll.
And I just saw him. Not at all. I just saw him the last couple of weeks in New York. You can always, and it happened with Patrice O'Neill too. You can always tell when somebody just pops up and becomes something else. And his, now he goes on stage and there's no B plan. He's just doing his shit, and it's almost therapeutic.
Well,
like when I watch a guy like him the other night, I'm watching that. And you feel like something was released. You feel better after it.
Yeah, and also because again, when you hit a certain critical mass, all those people have come to see you, and you are probably their favorite comic. So they're already fucking up for it. And like when I do warm ups now, in England, there's no real point me doing little 10 minutes in clubs and that for loads of reasons. One, I'm scared of like press coming and. That happens to me. Like, people have been in my first ever warm-up gig and they've given me a review, which is ridiculous.
Well, you're a huge star, Ricky. I mean, you got to deal with those pressures.
Yeah, but I don't...
The press just hound you.
Well, So what I try and do is get around it. I try and get around
just
it.
Just breaking your balls.
Yeah, I know. But I try...
What you can't do is spot the entire London press shuts down. They got to come down and see me. First of all... as far as like knowing who the fuck you are, that works on your own gig. That does not work in on popping spots. That's why you should do it.
Because
I had two either allies or lesbians or whatever flip out yelling at me, waited for me to end my set so they could yell at me more. That's what happens if you do those spots.
But it doesn't do me alone, Ricky. No, but it doesn't do me any good.
Out.
It doesn't do any good defeating that, you know, the fucking hen night or the argument, because it's not what I do anyway. I go out there and it's rhetorical. It's one-way traffic. I've set a thing up. There's a bit of a narrative. There's a bit of a story. Yeah. It doesn't do me any good to get there like that. So what I have to do, and I never have, which is... That's something else. What I do is I do a small theatre, so it's still people who come to see me for half price or give it to charity or something. So at least they listen because.
Yeah, but he came down to New York and did a spot, and I was telling you yesterday. It's I love it when you're watching the crowd, and there was a row of women that just was staring, weren't fuck him.
Is this a warm-up? What was this gig,
though? There's a warm-up gig. He just did a spot at the Cellar.
Oh, so unannounced.
And all of a sudden, he turned... You see them laugh at something fucked up because they put their head down like, fucking, he got me, motherfucker. And then by the end of his set, everybody was fucking laughing. So it like went from, fuck this guy, you know what I mean? To, oh my God, that was... His comedy broke them.
Well, it's funny, but the problem is, right, and that's brilliant, and you're were amazing at that. But there has been a culture in England more where it's only that, like the chain things, the chains that you go in and you get paid a good wage for doing 20 minutes, and they tell you where the hen parties are, what the groom's name. It's fucking true.
They tell you where the what is?
Where the hen parties are and what table and that. So you're like a fucking... Well,
group of women.
It's hens. It's like you're doing a corporate for a firm.
Wow.
So, and then you survive on those things. And so you get a drunk, you get a alcohol. It cuts through the alcohol. Your 20 minutes cuts through the alcohol. So you're just corrupt. It's not comedy. It's not comedy. It's, I don't know what it is. It's fucking cabaret managing of someone's fucking hen party.
Yeah, they don't do, I mean, the comedy cellar, the clubs in New York don't fuck around with that. It's like, you have to go in the cellar now and you have a bag. You have to put your watch, your Fitbit, your phone, all in a bag. You have to be totally focused on the fucking show.
Yeah.
And you can't say a word. You can't talk. You can't have conversations. They'll kick you the fuck out.
Well, you know what? I like that, though, because I hate the idea of someone going along and thinking that they're allowed to heckle and get in your fucking life.
They're not supposed to.
No, I know.
Unless
I agree.
Engage them.
Well, exactly. And
but
they shouldn't. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I agree with that. You should be able to heckle. That's what makes stick comedy cool. But as far as, like, filming somebody, like, say that those two lesbians who flip the fuck out. Like, the next night, I did this.
How did you know they were lesbians?
I'm working it out. I said lesbians are allies. Or whatever. They were gay friendly.
Right. Okay.
It was one of those shows. I went on. It was like a woman show slash gay vibe. There was like paper cutouts of dicks and shit like on up on the stage. So it was that. You know, and they're acting like they're all open-minded. And they're not. Because when I show up, all of a sudden, they all became a group, you know. So, I don't know, blah, 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 blah. The next day, I did the same fucking bit. The same bit, and because of what I learned the night before, I was able to still say what I wanted to say, still make my point, and not have people fucking screaming at me.
Mm.
But those fucking children who were there the night before, like, they don't, I think they should be kicked out, not for yelling, for acting like children. It's like you went to a nightclub. You didn't hire a comic to do a private gig.
Right.
And you told them what not to talk about, and then they broke it, and now you're upset,
yeah.
Which then they would have. But if you go out to a nightclub, that like to treat them as though that's their dojo, like you came to their fucking house, is the equivalent of a comedian going on stage going, what does the crowd want, while trying to find their voice. You're not going to find it because now you're out there. They have it ass backwards.
But the comedy club is the safe space. That's where we say the shit you can't at work.
That's right.
That's where we say the shit you can't say to your lesbian roommate.
Yeah, I say
we
things,
say it.
I say things on stage that I would never even say socially.
Because
I know I can justify it and I can
and
explain
people laugh
it.
You're joking.
Because I'm joking. But also, I am joking, yes. But apart from that, I can still justify it. I don't go out there and say things. I was just joking. I have to be able to say, this is why it's a joke. This is why it works comedically. And this is why I don't care that you're offended. You know, I don't think there's an example of... I mean, maybe there is. Is there an example of a joke that you go, you can't justify it. It is whatever it is. You've never got to say, well, yeah, this joke was sexist and racist, but it's just a joke. I think you have to be able to say why it's okay.
I don't think you do.
Really?
I don't think there's no fucking rules. You can do whatever.
No, there aren't.
You can do whatever you want.
None.
I meant personally. Yeah, I agree. No. I want to be able to go.
I will tell you, I am tired of having to talk about it.
Yeah.
Of having to fucking sit there and justify
why
8% of the crowd is ruling the other 92%.
I agree.
Because it's literally like if you had that sort of an approval rating as a politician, you know.
Yeah.
Other than term limits, you would never not be elected. So
yeah.
I just think it's lazy journalism. And rather than going after, you know, what they really what they should be going after, because they're all getting fed by it, then we're just easy targets. Like what comics should do is pool their money and start giving to fucking politicians' campaigns, and there would never be another fucking.
And also,
advertise on news networks, buy some commercial shit, and then all of a sudden there wouldn't be a problem because you can fucking create a nationwide fucking drug epidemic and they're not even going to bring it up.
Well, why isn't there like a channel? Why doesn't comics create their own channel to put whatever the fuck they want.
But you know why
it.
Though? But then everyone or jumps in on when you see a comic being kicked when he's down, other fucking comics jump on him. I want to go fucking hell. And they're not funny either. They're always ones that they're fucking. Let's not name names, but fucking hell.
This coffee's awesome.
There are
by
some
the
fucking teachers' pets out there that try and fucking get the liberal crowd on their side, and it makes me sick. Because
I wanna just say my coffee's great.
It's thank you. Cheers. I know. I'm fucking gasping. Bill Burr kicked
me
over my coffee.
Huge favor.
I was moving the couch.
Ricky, just big favor. Can you just pull your sock up a little bit?
Is it just too sexy for you?
It's just.
Is it too sexy?
Your black English slack socks with a sneaker.
That must be worse. Like a garter. Must make you feel worse.
I'll let you know. Here in America, with sweatpants and track shoes, we don't wear black slack socks. Okay? It's just, we don't do it.
I thought there were no rules.
I don't know if you're doing a one-man show after this in a black box theater.
But no, getting back to your point.
I did clock his European outfit. I was just like, it's almost American, but there's something different. I couldn't figure out what it was.
It's pure comfort. Listen, I look shit in Armani, so I might as well wear something that's comfortable
you,
and shit.
You know, can I just say something?
What?
You've looked good for the last 10 years. Yeah. When I worked with you, I actually worked with him on Ghost Town. Yeah. I did a movie with him back in the day. And my only...
This is his favorite film. Ghost Town. Okay, yeah.
My only desire...
This is his favorite film.
On the film.
I watched Sports Dude. I don't know what... the name of the movie I'm
a guy
right
who could
now.
See ghosts. I played ghost number... construction worker number 3.
Yeah.
Okay? And my only desire on this film was to hang with Ricky. Because he's a stand-up. Right. And I heard he was a cool stand-up, you know? Right. And I'm like, we're gonna bump into each other and something's gonna happen. And he's gonna be like, dude, you do stand up, eh? And I'm like, yeah, if
I'm gonna produce a TV show for you.
So yeah. Something was gonna happen. We were just gonna become mates. You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh my God, he wanted fucking nothing to do with me.
Not true.
Hang on 1 second. No,
I didn't want anything to do with anyone.
You were nice to the naked guy. You were there was one ghost who was butt naked. We had to sit there, and it looked like a melted candle. I don't know who casted him. They couldn't have fucking picked. God bless the guy. I don't make fun, but it's like they could have. If we had to look at a guy for 30 days naked, they could have picked somebody else.
He had to do the whole film naked?
He had he had pants on. They pixelated it out. He wasn't naked, was he?
He had a thing on his junk because he had to sit naked because it was. How would you know he's naked if he had pants on?
Because they didn't ever really show the full body, did they? I can't remember the film. There's no way he was naked during the filming.
I know that I was in a scene with you, and he was fully naked in front of me with the thing over his junk.
Right.
And you guys were
his
fucking
arse,
chatting it up.
Yeah, maybe
best friends.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was sitting there like, he's not a stand. I just wanted to go. I wanted to lean in and go, excuse me 1 second. Rick, he's
a funny
not a stand up.
He was a funny guy.
He wasn't that funny, Ricky.
Even naked, he was funny.
He was not funny. He was not funny. Billy, this guy was, was charming. I'll give him fucking charming, but you have to be charming when you're naked on set.
Yeah.
Funny, I will not give him.
But look at you now. Look at you now. You're sitting opposite me with a coffee.
You're absolutely right.
That I haven't got.
That you didn't spill.
You're right. But it would.
I spilled it now. This has changed
history. This show could have been Ricky and Bobby, and we would have had the first half hour on record. We could have recorded it.
Well, you're here now. But getting back to your point about you can't say people, you know, bowing to the fucking heckler and people jumping in on it. I totally agree with that, because what annoys me about this is that as comics, we say things we don't mean. On the whole, that's what a joke is. It's often something you don't mean for comic effect, really. And we get in trouble for it. Whereas politicians say worse things that they do mean, and it's like part of their job.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know, because people are stupid, because people straight away assume they are. People are fucking stupid.
But it's funny.
And it's what you said.
I don't think they are.
No, because they can't go for the real deal, but they can reach us.
You ever notice
that's true? I think that's true.
I don't think
people. Did you ever notice that puppets can say whatever they want?
Those people who get more annoyed at a joke
probably
about
emotional.
A bad thing. Yeah.
Some of them.
And some of them don't mean it. Some of them just want to be heard. Some of them just do anything to get to you. It's a heckle.
Yeah,
it's
but
a
some
tweet.
But some of them, this is the thing too, is that you were talking to Voss about the time when me and Keith made him bomb.
That was hilarious.
He had to go on after Nikki Glaser, just murdered. It was mostly young girls in the crowd, and she just fucking murdered. And she was, I mean, she has this joke about sucking dick. It was just like, what the fuck, funny. And just leveled the place. So me and Keith went over just to make, and Voss went up, and we were just like, oh. Oh.
Oh, starting the groans.
No. And we started this whole, we turned the whole fucking crowd. The whole crowd was like, oh, till one girl looked up at me and she went, why is he doing this? And he was just doing his act. They turned on him and he's like, she was just up here talking about sucking loads.
Right.
Right.
But that's exactly it. But one person could turn it. And,
but you
and,
can do it the other way.
But the press do it. The press like, do it. The press do it, though.
But you can do it the other way, like I was saying
with
him.
Yeah, I said no one ever starts an ironic round of applause for their friends. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
But that worst bit of clickbait is, it goes right, I see it every day. Yeah. So-and-so said a thing and people are furious. And they find two tweets that say I didn't like it.
Well, they did that at the cellar, too. They were pissed about Louis and people protesting at Louis. There was one lady that was protesting. Another lady came because she saw the other lady on Twitter and she just felt bad for her. So it was two women that were protesting and they said groups of people were protesting Louis at the cellar. And it was literally just one person.
A duo.
Yeah, it was a duo of protests.
What you know, it was scary the other night being at Times Square during that fucking blackout. Yeah. And it was the weirdest thing ever where half the city, half the fucking, on once the west side was blacked out and the other side was like civilization. And just coming out of the theater, that feeling of, you could immediately already feel like a lower level of law abiding. Like just how quickly it would become like fucking lawless.
Yeah.
And we were like, somebody I was with was going, was pointing to the west side to try to get like fucking a cab. And I was like, no, let's go to the east side where there's electricity and people aren't just walking in the streets for no fucking reason. And all of a sudden there was all like this police presence and stuff. It really kind of freaked me out. Like how far, like
I was here.
It's like 1 minute away from the Warriors.
Yeah. No, literally, like you just felt like this fucking feeling in the crowd where there was this one thing was taken out of the fucking recipe. And all of a sudden, like, 40 things went sideways, and you could totally tell why the cops were there. And this was just like, you know, just it was just one little gray. It was something up on 54th Street that affected about 20 blocks.
In 2003, they had the blackout of the whole northern EC. Like, all of New York went out for one day, and it went out during the day.
Okay.
And I remember I talked to my wife. I was like, where are you? She's like, we're having margaritas. Everything closed. I go, get the fuck back up here. And because the streets... lights were gone. People were blowing through the fucking traffic signs, and regular people had to direct traffic because people were almost getting killed. And then when it went dark, people started lighting barrels on fire. We went from 10th to 8th, and we had to turn around because there was people coming up behind the girls, just grabbing their asses, going like that. And you can't see them because there's no lights. It's like being in the woods in Manhattan. You only had the moon. That was it. It was fucking petrifying.
Where was this?
It was here in Manhattan.
What, the last one? It
was like 2003, I think it was. The whole city went out for a night. And people on the 44th floor, the richest people, had to walk in the dark up 44 floors. And now every building has like glow in the dark stuff.
They still tell that story. That's like their one hardship.
I remember being on the stairwell, and I was on the fifth, so I was walking people up to the fifth with a flashlight I had because it was pitch dark, and these rich women didn't know what the fuck to do. Like, they were like, can somebody walk me up to the 44th? They were like, nah, get the fuck out of here. And they had to walk back up with their little dogs. It was crazy. This city, if
you must have felt like a superhero for a night.
I felt like I lived on the fifth floor, so I was fine. It was the first time I was glad I was not wealthy. Like, it worked out in my favor.
One night,
I walked up to the fifth floor, and I had a fan.
Yeah,
I had a battery operated fan that I had that me and my wife just sat in front of because it was like 900 degrees. It was awesome too because all the bodegas had to give away all their ice cream.
No, so when anybody ever pitches that anarchy shit, it's just like be in that shit for like a fucking half hour and feel the vibe. And
the gang you're in is people in Broadway shows.
Yeah,
you don't feel secure. You know what I mean?
No, the worst one you want to read is the one that happened during the late 70s. When this city was bankrupt, it was Summer of Sam and all of that.
There's a documentary on that. That was the real deal.
That was the real deal. Because this whole fucking city now looks like a big Bed Bath & Beyond now, what they did to it. They went too far as cleaning it up.
Was it the 70s?
It was the looting and everything. Everything was looting and shut down, sat on fire. I mean, it was crazy. And there was already a lack of police because they were losing funds and stuff. Yep. So they literally couldn't do anything. Have you seen that documentary, The 7-5?
Yes.
About, it's incredible,
about
isn't
the
it?
Cop in but the, in the
playing
Brooklyn,
both
yeah.
sides,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. East New York. That was pretty fucking bad.
It's one of my favorite New documentaries. York. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, that was New York. I mean, we used to come here back in the day from Boston. It was
we got
fucked
it right
up.
as Giuliani
yeah,
came in.
Right as
it
he cleaned
it up. It was
still
a scary place, but he was starting to do stuff.
Didn't he start doing like three strikes in jail or something? Was that him or?
I don't remember, but I do know like all the ideas were his, the police commissioners.
Kelly.
And once it worked, he got rid of him.
Yeah.
So he'd get the credit. Like that's how the story
They would go to
goes.
A park like Washington Square Park and put a mobile police unit. So there was a police station
yeah.
right
at the park where the drug dealers were 24 hours a day, 365
yeah, like
days a year.
Thompson Square Park, when I first came down here,
yeah.
you just didn't go there. It was right. just, it yeah. was a transient, what do you mean, transient city? I don't know what to call it. It was just like, remember in Scarface when they were all living in tents underneath the
yeah.
fucking overpass? It was like that, like needles around and shit. You didn't, as a white person, didn't go to Alphabet City.
Times Square, you didn't go. You didn't, I mean, at a certain
Times Square
time
was
of night
all
you left.
Creeps fucking jerking off and shit.
Yeah.
Dude, it was fucking.
I went to an underground strip club. Maceo took me to an underground strip club. It was just in a parking lot building. And there was just these two bouncers with metal detectors and they buzz you. And you went into a room and it was the most horrific shit I've ever seen. I just remember I walked up to the bar and I said, excuse me. And the bartender was getting like finger blasted by a guy. And then I looked to my right and there was just an old white guy with sweatpants with a heart on.
Oh, my question is, why did you go there?
A guy was like, you want to go to the Gold Medallion? I was like, okay,
who?
What's
what
that?
Guy?
Maceo, he's a comic.
Right.
Yeah, so I was like, all right.
Why didn't you say no?
Because I didn't know what it was. who right? says no to a...
You think a titty bar? You think it's a titty bar? You don't think it's going to be that?
I'm thinking it was going to be the best... I had to throw my jeans away. I remember I threw my pants away.
Why?
Because some girl just came over and sat on them, and I could just smell... fucking underground strip club. It was,
oh God.
It was fucking
and this is just when we got here.
Yeah.
So that New York one, that was like 15 years before that.
What year was that when you came?
We came in like 94. So like in the late 70s, like this place went bad. You could have bought any fucking PNIC glass. You could have bought fucking anything in here. People were leaving.
Yeah.
So how old were you? You came in 94. How old were you then?
26.
And so you already started doing stand-up.
I started in 92. So what getting back to what we were talking about with the Boston guys, was those guys started that scene and they weren't leaving and we weren't going to be funnier than they were. So there was this glass ceiling.
Yeah.
So you had to leave and we saw guys like Anthony Clark left,
yeah.
Joe Rogan left, and we saw these guys that we loved leave and make it. So we were like, well, that's what we got to do. We got to get the fuck out of here. So I started in 92 and by 94... We were already 2 years in. I was already like, I need to get down in New York. Plus, I started a little bit late, so I was already 26. And I was feeling like, fuck.
I started 38.
Yeah. I know, but it was just like.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you were also at a TV show before, right?
Yeah, well, no, yeah. But same time.
So you were
at the same
in.
Time.
You were
I was
in.
39. Yeah, 39.
Yeah.
I was sort
no,
of
I,
around.
I lived at home with my parents until I was 27, dude. It was.
Yeah.
I was fucking, yeah. I was.
Why
just,
was that economic?
Yeah, I was saving up money. I paid off all my shit, and I paid off my student loans, and then I was.
So
super
you went to college, and you wanted to be a comic.
Forever. Well, I didn't know that you could do it. It
I
just
know,
seemed
I
like
know what you mean.
Show business was so far away when
yeah.
I was. It was on TV, which was a million miles away. So it never dawned on me that there was a Boston comedy scene until like I thought I had to move to Hollywood. To become
yeah.
a comedian, I didn't know I could go.
Yeah,
like,
we had a
right
we had a
street.
Massive. The one thing that Boston had before us, and we kept going, we had a massive community. Like we hung out every night.
Yeah, there
every,
was a scene.
We
there.
Went to a club
That's
every night and hung out after the. More importantly, after the show, for at least an hour or two, just philosophizing, busting balls. And the one thing I explained to people too is that if you look at like. All of us guys that came to New York, me, Dane, Billy, Patrice, Gary Gulman, just those guys. It came almost in the same couple of years. We're all completely different on stage.
Well,
like,
yeah.
You know, right. we this we're silhouetted differently. Like Patrice is always, Billy's always been Billy. Patrice is, I'm different. We're all different.
I love Patrice. I never got to meet Patrice.
You see a couple, you see guys now where they're all the kind of same comics.
Best comic I ever saw alive. And other than that, you'd have to go to like the greats of all time. Like what that guy would have been doing. So that's when anybody says.
I think he's my favorite comic of all time. Yeah. I just on the 2 hours I've seen 10 times on YouTube and all those bits. I've seen everything of it that's ever been put on YouTube.
He's the best.
And I never saw someone. We all deal with it. We all sort of deal with contentious issues. We want to sort of like shock and scare people now and again. But he'd come out with, he'd say the worst thing ever and then gradually justify it.
Yeah.
And do you know what I mean? He'd cut up a movie. He'd start with the terrible, horrific.
He would come out and say fucked up shit. And I've seen him walk like a majority of the room. He'd literally look at somebody. He'd go to your face. He'd go, yeah, you should go. You're not going to like me. I can tell by your face.
Yeah.
And he would walk a lot of people. And then he'd be like, all right, we can go. We can start now. Because now I can do it. I don't know what that was. Like, that was some crazy fucked up shit. But then the crowd
sabotage,
would love him.
Sabotage, genius. Yeah, it was everything.
All that fucked up
also,
shit.
Also, sometimes he then giggled to himself where he thought, I got away with that. They believed me. Yeah. So I don't know.
If that person said, why the fuck do you know I'm not going to like you? He would like the person. So he had this weird thing where he would, for some reason, he felt you needed to pass a test to be around him.
Well, that's
I don't
what
know why
friends.
We never trashed him for that. Like,
we trashed him.
Yeah, like you got to pass the bar. That.
Yeah, because he used to come
to
in.
Dick jokes.
He used to do, he would, because he was such an insecure guy, he'd always have a different outfit, like genre. Like he had jerseys. One year he was just wearing jerseys. And then the next year he wore suits. Then
he
wore hats.
Like Run DMC in one special.
He dressed like Run DMC. Yeah, that was his suit hat thing. And he just show up as a different person. And I remember one time he walked in a fucking burgundy suit with a vest and a hat. And he walked into the cell. I was like, would you just come up with your own barbecue sauce? And it's just, I mean, from there, we just smashed him.
To and he never just, wore it again, right? Never.
No. That's
no, that up. Was the thing about back then. There was like clothes. The amount of money that I spent on clothes, having to replace what I just bought or proud of something, and they would trash it so much. It's like, I can literally never wear this again. And then I would like try to sneak out and wear it at a different club. But back then there was no like, you know, we had a fucking website. No one had a website. So yeah. And I'd just be praying. I'm like, all right, Bobby doesn't work this strip. Patrice is an outside chance. He might be. If I get caught with this fucking shirt, and I'd wear a jacket and I would have it zipped up. Because, you know, we weren't making any money. So it's just like there was only so many fucking shirts you could throw out.
I showed up with running pants on. They were blue with a baby blue stripe. And I remember I asked my girl, I go, these are all right? She goes, yeah, they're nice. And I remember 5 seconds into walking to the cellar, you, Norton, Patrice, and you guys laid into me. I literally threw them out when I got home. Put them in the fucking garbage.
The problem with the internet now is those things don't go away. There's 5 atrocities of me. I wore a white jacket once to an award show.
Yeah.
And I want it deleted from the internet.
Yeah.
No. It's just there's nothing I can do about it.
You can't. I was at Comic-Con at Hall H. It was one of the greatest moments of my life. I've always wanted to do that. I finally was on a show that did it. Yeah. And this guy, this fucking piece of garbage, took a photo from literally underneath me with 7 of my necks, and that's the only photo that
I
comes
do that
up.
On purpose though. See, I do bath pics, and I think if I put out worse pictures than the paparazzi can ever get of me.
Those are so, dude, let me tell you something. The first one you put out, I thought you had gone insane.
I know.
It looks like a little boy's bum.
It looks like I'm giving birth to myself.
It looks
some
like
of
a
them.
Bum.
The worse I can look, make uh-huh. myself look, the prouder I am. Yeah. I'm prouder of those shots than The Office. Because this is how insecure I am, right? Uh-huh. Right? You talk about you got guys having a go at you and that. When I was at school, if someone had a haircut, they'd go, haircut, right?
Right.
I hated that so much. I would make my mum cut my hair over a week so no one noticed. So she would take a millimetre a day for a week. So it's like I went through 5 years of school, never had a haircut. They just thought, no one ever noticed. I never had a haircut. I
thought you had a toupee or
something. Yeah, exactly, yeah. I know, because I didn't want to give anyone the satisfaction of going haircut. So this elaborate scheme.
You remember the time that he came in? You guys going to the playoffs. Or was it this World Series?
You're going to vomit?
No, it's just my GERD. I'm chubby.
my what?
He has, GERD. Probably has three stomachs.
I have GERD. My GERD, I apologize.
A ruminant. He's a ruminant.
And he had tickets to the World Series, but the way he got them, he had to do comedy on a bus for these guys. And he came in, remember? And we smashed you.
Yep.
We smashed him.
That was he did a headlining set. It was 45 minutes.
45 minutes of some of the. I mean, nobody had a stinker. It was great. It was just about him chilling. Doing comedy on a bus.
And you know what? I sat there and took it.
Yep.
And gave that gig to somebody else and didn't say who the fuck it was forever. Because I didn't want him to take the pounder, and I did. And then a few nights later, we were getting Keith Robinson, so he just stood up and ran out of the club. I remember thinking, like, I didn't know you could fucking do that. I would have left 8 minutes into that bus crashing.
You sat down and took it. It was so
sat
bad.
Down, dude. I moved to like five different chairs.
The worst.
I had to keep getting up and walking it off.
But what was the accusation? What was the stick you were giving him for doing a corporate?
Esty at the Cellar said, "Hey, there's some Atlanta Braves coming up. They were playing the Yankees in the World Series." They're taking a bus from their hotel to Yankee Stadium. They want somebody to do stand-up on the bus. And we'll give you a World Series ticket. And I'm like, fuck yeah, it's the easiest gig ever. All I got to do is shit on the Yankees. I could do that for 4 hours. No problem, right? And my buddy did it. He said it was easy. It kind of sucked a little bit. Then I got my ticket and I took off. So they offered it to me and Jim Norton. And Jim's like, yeah, I don't know. And I was like, I don't know either. So then like 2 days later, I didn't realize Jim said no to it. And I started trashing Jim and I was getting him. So he fucking panned and he goes, whatever, bus boy. And then the whole table stopped and said, what? And he goes, Bill Burr's going to do fucking stand up on a bus for a World Series ticket. I'm like, he got offered it too. And it was over. It was fucking over.
That's
it was like
great.
I got caught wearing a wire in a mob meeting. It was fucking. They just ripped my shirt open, and I'm like, it was you know, fucking.
I almost cried one time. I got so hurt by my pounding. I was with Keith Robinson and Patrice in Amsterdam, and I was so excited just to be out of the country. It was amazing. And this guy had put us in this shit artsy hotel downtown. Literally, it had metal bunk beds. And a shower. The shower and the toilet were just one room where you just kind of hose everything off. And Patrice and Keith were like, this is a prison, motherfucker. We're out of here. And I loved it. I was like, I'll stay because I'm a people-pleasing fuckface.
You're right.
They took him out to the country, this beautiful hotel. I stayed by myself in this shithole. And I had bought this outfit for the big show. It was a black.
I don't even know this thing about black, buying an outfit. I've never bought an outfit.
It was a big theater show.
Talking about you wore a white jacket.
I know.
You wore an outfit one time, and then that was it.
No, that's the worst thing about that was I wasn't even performing. That was just me in the crowd. That's the terrible thing about that. Oh,
I bought a black shirt, polyester shirt, but I bought. And there was a time, believe it or not, where polyester pants were in. So I bought these black pants.
Why he says that? Like we're gonna accept it? Oh, sure. The time. Okay, that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, the 70s
was. But I didn't know.
Roller discos.
I had black shoes, and what I didn't know is I bought bell bottom. I didn't know they were bell bottom.
Oh.
So when I came out, it looked like I was wearing an evening gown. So I just remember I walked out. I didn't understand, and I walked out, and Patrice and Keith were in the van with the windows up, and you just heard Patrice's. They smashed me. The guy driving who booked the thing was just miserable. He was laughing so hard he had to pull the van over.
Oh, no.
And they were just smashing me, and I just had my head. Because I had to perform in this.
Oh, God.
I had to go on stage with this outfit.
You were dressed like Catwoman.
This is like trauma.
I remember I was taking it, but I wanted to like just cry a little bit.
You know what's funny when you say that's trauma? Is there's a lot of truth to that because like those are the funniest guys I ever hung out with. And rather than sitting down and writing a script and shooting something, for like 5 years, all we did was try to sabotage each other.
Yeah.
Every fucking possible thing.
But there's nothing funnier.
There would be times I really wanted to try something out. I just didn't have it in me that night. I had a tough day. I would skip going upstairs. I would wait till right before my spot. I'd catch the host out on the sidewalk, and I would go downstairs, and then I would go on stage knowing full well that I got a good 4 minutes before they see me on that fucking TV, and then they're all going to stand in the doorway mean mugging
That's
me, shaking
amazing.
Their head at everything I say like it's not funny. And in those 4 minutes, though, were mine, and I was going to try that new fucking thing. And before the knuckleheads came down, and
there's a real.
They're like, Bill, why didn't you come upstairs and say hello? It's like,
but there's a real brotherly camaraderie to that, because I do this bit. I not finish it. I do this bit in my new thing where I didn't hug anyone till I was 30. Now everyone hugs everyone, right? Growing up, you didn't hug your brother either. You wound each other up. You played for you. Mm. It was the meanest thing you could do, and then you both laughed. Yeah. And I think that's what makes us as well. This play fighting when you're growing up to be a comic. We want to be heard. We want to. But I think there's no nastiness in
it. But there's also a purity in it. There's also a filter.
No, there
wasn't that. There's not really, is it? It's not.
It's a filter.
No, it was mean. It was mean. I'm going to tell you something. Some of the funniest fucking guys I knew avoided that table like the fucking plague. Like there was people, they were literally afraid.
I saw people
sit down.
People cried.
Yeah,
I've seen
people cried.
Dude,
it was me.
Oh really? What really? What did they mean to make him cry though, or was it just taken wrong?
I remember one night a girl
cried.
They
weren't tough enough to tank. They showed up, and got in the ring and they got pounded. Yeah. Like me, my role there, I was the palooka. I was the Jerry Quarry of that table. I had my moments or whatever, so I'd get like every once in a while I'd make it to the pay per view and I would lose every time. You couldn't beat Patrice. Patrice was the Ali of the table.
Yeah, Patrice
Keith
and Norton
was Joe Frazier.
Norton.
There was just beasts there. There was beasts. And then Kevin Hart came a few years later and he caught up real quick.
Yeah, but we fucked with that a little. Remember we threw phone books at him when he was on stage.
My favorite thing ever.
That's not
Kevin Hart.
That's
Kevin Hart tried to give Kevin Hart tried to give Sherrod shit one night, and Sherrod picked him up and burped him like a baby.
Fucking
like,
hell!
Like threw him over his shoulder, and Sherrod is like he's like farm strong, like just came out of the womb, could fucking tear a building out of the ground. Yeah. He just picked him up and burped him. I remember Kev's stupid little Air Jordans dangling in the air. And there was nothing. When somebody lifts you off the ground, there's like,
when there's a physicality to it, that's different. I know.
It's hard.
But.
Like when I was trying to be serious with my girl and maybe get married or move in, I remember when I told Keith and Kevin, I got a joint bank account with my girlfriend. They literally, they drove me, I think maybe 10 minutes past my stop where I was staying in like a bad neighborhood. And they just said, get out. I was like, what do you mean? They're like, get the fuck out. You're an idiot. And they made me get out of the car and walk.
But did they mean it?
Oh, they didn't
come back.
Oh, no, they never came
back.
They
don't come back.
I had to walk.
They didn't mean it. They would have gone around the block or gone down 20 feet. No, they
and
left.
I had a newspaper, and I remember they took my newspaper and threw it out the window. And I just remember it was the winter, and it was just going like everywhere. And I tried to pick it up because I don't like littering. So I was like trying to, but I was just this fucking asshole in the hood trying to pick up newspapers. And
they didn't mean it in that they would still call you the next day, but they would leave you there. It's like they did and they didn't. The whole thing was a total.
You can't ironically beat someone up.
Yeah, exactly.
You're actually hitting me, dude. Yeah, but you don't mean it. Yeah. Maybe you are hitting me.
Colin Quinn actually,
I got the bruises.
Me and Colin Quinn were driving somewhere to a college, and I remember I was drinking coffee, and he was to the right of me. And he just punched me in the side of the head. And I spit my coffee out, and it went all over the inside. We almost died. I'm not kidding. Because I couldn't see. And I
would kill to see video of that. It's fucking hilarious.
And I was like, what?
Listen. No,
I was like,
likes-
what the fuck? And he was laughing. I've never seen him. He was hysterically laughing. And I'm like, I couldn't see. And I'm like, Colin, I'm not kidding. We're on the highway doing 65. I had to stick my head out the window like a dog. And then I had to like pour water. It was we almost died. We almost fucking, he laughed for 20 fucking minutes.
Well, but I think what's good, this is what's good. Obviously there's good and bad in this, right? Obviously there's bullying, which is bad. And there's violence and there's murder. They're all bad.
The fact that I didn't feel like I could try certain things at the coming, the fact that to this day I talked about on your podcast, I still have arguments with Patrice. He's been dead for fucking 8 years. I'll do a bit and I'll feel good about it, and I'll hear his fucking voice. It's in there like a worm, just trashing me, going, I see what you're doing, you're trying to do this and you think of this, but you're
makes,
not
but that
you're just
makes
fucking
you...
this and just bam bam
and
bam
that
right down
you
to
a
the
good
ground
com- I mean that
well I was gonna say
like,
there was
I have,
a, there
I
was...
have you in my head. Dude, you got to write it down. I have him going, dude, don't do fucking high. We have all that shit, Norton. They're always there. So it's kind of making you be better than you could have been if you just went the easier
route.
Well,
there is a survivor of the fittest, isn't there?
I hope so.
Well, there certainly is. Is that the fact that you still do it and your success means you made it? You know,
there's an obligation, I think. To
I mean, there could you, it could.
I think some things were learned, but I think it was a bunch of fucking broken toys. Yeah. Just going at each other. That's all it was. It was just like a family of kids who were abused tease the dog.
Yeah,
and then the dog bites the family, and it just becomes that thing. They still love the fucking dog, but the dog is a lunatic.
Yeah, we could have been really, all of us could have been way more. I mean, you're successful, but it could have all happened a lot earlier.
We could have put a fucking crew together the way you see like those
crews. Could you imagine that crew?
It would have been
me,
sick.
Me, you, Patrice,
it would have been, but we did.
Norton,
we would have killed each other. We would have, our friendships would have ended.
Yeah,
it would have been bad. But I'm just saying, we could have at least produced something. Yeah. Well, you, me, and DeRosa finally made a short film.
We did. That was a good film.
And that fucking destroyed our friendship for like a year and a half.
Yeah,
we didn't. It was not even like we made a movie. We made like an 8-minute short.
We made a short,
and we didn't talk to each other for like a year and a half after that.
I remember we were talking like, dude, we just got to do it ourselves. They're not going to give us a shot. We'll make our own shot.
Fucking Three Musketeers, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were on the same page for about 20 minutes.
We're like, all right, we're going to put our money in. And DeRosa was like, I don't have any money. We're like, all right, we're going to put his money in, too.
And we all lost money. And the one fucking asshole, he didn't do anything, ended up suing us. And he made like fucking 10 grand, that
10
cunt.
10 fucking grand. That killed me, yeah. Fucking terrible. But we did do it. It was a good movie.
We did it.
And we made a movie.
Hold that thought. Let's play a song. It's The Byrds. Turn, Turn, Turn. That was The Byrds. Turn, Turn, Turn on Ricky Gervais's Deadly Serious with me, Ricky Gervais, Bobby Kelly, and Bill Burr. I still think there's something about the camaraderie that there might be scars, but it's sort of, I'm quite Nietzschean on this, that whatever doesn't
you're
kill
romantic.
You makes you strong.
I think so.
You're
romanticizing.
I think so, because I look back, I often think why are we comics?
You're going both calves now.
Oh, I don't give a fuck. To read it and weep. You wish you had fucking legs like that.
I do have legs like that.
You're two either side of your testicles. Yeah, we're built the same.
I have the same legs. There's nothing different than your legs.
If you had no legs, that would be a cruel statement, wouldn't it? Like, I wish you had fucking legs like that. Yeah, but the fact that you do have legs, it's less of an insult, really, isn't it?
If I was in a wheelchair, I'd be like, you're just a mean, that's a fucking harsh insult.
Jesus Christ, I lost him in NAM. Jesus Christ, dude.
Like your quads are bulging out of your sweatpants.
Yeah.
I mean.
No, I suppose, I think I am, yeah. I like the idea of the the camaraderie, and that's why I hate it when I do see comics kicking other comics when they're down.
I would say you would have gotten massacred back in the day at the table.
What, could being too sensitive?
Absolutely. The fact that you're sitting here, the way your fucking arm, just the way your arm is and the way you're playing with your mustache, you'd get trashed for like three
nights. Yeah, you're pontificating. I'd have
done it on purpose.
No.
Purpose.
A lot of guys say that. I would do this. I would just say that. They talk about how you dress like a woman after she had a baby.
I'd have minced in like I was on a middle-aged woman on a flight.
He's paternity Gervais.
He's wearing his paternity clothes. I'm trying to play him up like this.
You dress like a nanny.
Imagine having your feelings hurt by someone saying you dress like a nanny and being broken and me going, right, I'm giving up.
Listen,
this is where it starts.
They would get into
your host style and why you're such a fucking phony, and you did the Golden Globe Awards, you would not be able to go back to the fucking cellar.
But I wouldn't do a fucking bus.
Huh? You would, though.
I probably would have.
You would have done that. You would have done a prom show. Remember the prom shows on the fucking boats?
Oh, the prom shows. The boat was the worst, because you bomb on the prom show on the boat, and then you're on a boat.
And then you can't
leave.
And
you just got to find a little, like,
corner of the boat.
Yeah, the engine room.
Go down
there. You got to go down to the fucking bottom.
But that's
bottom.
The truth. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do that someone won't go, you did that. It's like, do you know what I mean? I've done adverts. If you want to have a go, I've fucking done adverts.
What did you do?
What's an advert?
I've done
advertising.
Commercial. I did Audi. I did, what's the one?
What's the song? You made some money.
Yeah, that sounds
We're talking
like,
about bad
did you get
gigs.
A car?
Did you get a car? Privileged son of a bitch.
Yeah, I'm not talking
He's
about...
trying to compare a prom show and a boat to doing an Audi commercial.
Yeah, I really want
to
fucking take his shoe and throw it out the window.
Why? That's a good thing to do, is it, a commercial? I'm trying to give you all the shit I've done. I'm giving you ammo here.
Colin
Quinn. And you're coming back to me going,
his
no, that's
ammo
a good
is
thing.
On his IMDb page. I'm talking about shit you want to forget Colin, that nobody even saw, hopefully.
Colin Quinn walked out of his house with brown corduroy Converse once, and I took them off his feet and threw them onto a telephone pole wire in front of his building.
Hold on.
Oh, and they were there for a week, but then somebody went and got them.
I want to get the 1990s Bostonian rules, right? What's worse, those shoes or doing the Golden Globes? I need a scale of terrible things I've done.
I think the point is, though, is that doing a...
It's not terrible that you did it. It's just that you did it.
I think the Golden Globes...
It was never a bad... It didn't have to be a bad thing. It's that you went on stage and did something. That's all you needed to do.
Yeah.
And they would fuck with you to the point. We all... I'm acting like an innocent person.
No, of course.
We would all do that.
Do you remember the time you and Patrice did that TV show where he...
I remember a few people. I'm not going to name names. I made really mad. Because the way we played the game, the way it was taught to us, that game... was it's just like, oh yeah, hey, you dress like a pregnant woman, and then we would say, yeah, at least my mother isn't dead. Like, we'd go to that level.
Yeah, yeah,
and people
yeah.
Like,
whoa,
well,
yeah,
that was
of course.
So we had to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was me. I was the worst. I
but
would
was
always
there
bring
any,
it.
But that's what I'm trying
always,
to get
remember,
to. Was it real?
I would always,
was it real?
Yeah,
did
it was
you,
real.
Did you do it? But did you do it to people you didn't like?
No.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, we did.
Who?
See?
I'm not naming the names. Come on, dude.
We never fucked with people we didn't.
I'm not saying people who sat at the people who walked by the table.
Oh, yeah. No,
if you sat down and I didn't like you, I didn't fuck with
you. That's why
I wouldn't fuck. And I wouldn't fuck with certain people.
Bobby. I think you got the rose-colored lenses in those glasses there.
Dude, it was always.
Come on. How many almost fights? How many
what,
almost
actual
fights?
Fist fights? What, nearly, like you stepped over the mountain, someone wanted to hit you?
Never, I don't remember any
people
fights.
People crying, almost fight. What are you talking about?
People crying,
I remember one
Jesus
night
Christ.
Fucking Keith Robinson. I forget what the fuck happened, but we ended up getting in a fight over this remote control, and he dug his fucking pimp fingernails into my fucking finger.
Yeah, but you loved each other.
Huh?
Yeah, but you loved each other.
No, I'm just saying, you're acting like it never got mean.
No,
and
we
never
did
got
with
crazy.
Each other. I almost beat up Voss. Remember me and Voss? He flipped the whole thing of chicken wings on me, and the sauce went all over my chest.
I don't know what's real and what's not. What I'm trying to ask is, in this gang, yes. In this gang of
you're
like,
trying to rationalize it. There was no rational.
No, I get that there's no rules, and you say terrible things.
You're going
and they don't
actor
mean
on us. You're trying to get into the character of what's going on. That's what he's been doing the whole time.
No, what? No.
Who
I'm not.
Who are these people?
No.
What is it that makes
I'm
them?
I'm genuinely
tick?
Trying to work out if I don't think anyone ever
inside
meant
Ricky
it.
Inside Ricky Gervais. Studio.
Do you know what I mean? I don't think anyone really wanted to make someone cry. Or was that like, if you did that,
well,
that was like,
I'll give
fucking
you one example.
Out.
I'll give you one example. That this, I remember Rich Voss was dating this girl,
right.
And they came to the table. We're all there. And she sat down and he sat down. We all were having a good time. We all busted balls, whatever. A week later, that girl came back by herself because she had such a great time last time we were at the table. And she sat down and we all were just sitting there. And then Patrice at one point just looked at it and goes, excuse me, miss. Hi, how are you? Are you giving Voss any pussy?
Oh.
And she went, what? And she goes, are you giving Voss pussy? You banging Voss? She's like, no. We dated a couple. He's like, okay. All right. Are you anybody here? And she was like, we're all laughing. She's laughing. No. And he goes, all right, well, you got to go. You got to beat it because you can't. And then I think it was Keith was like, yeah, you got to go. You're on. You got Donnie Brasco'd in by Rich Voss. You can't just come here. And she was like, "What?" And everybody's laughing, but she was laughing. And then it kept going and going and going.
Yeah.
And then she turned away. And then she turned back in tears. She goes, "Fine, I'll leave." She got up. The whole restaurant shut down, like quiet. And we're all looking at her. And she goes, "Bye." And then as soon as she said bye, everybody went. And we all applauded.
Applauded what?
Her crying, her scene that she just did. And then
it
she
was
left.
Like this badge of honor, how mean you could be and how much you didn't
but
care.
But that's not good.
It was
because
funny.
We've been trying to tell you.
No, wait. She's a civilian.
Huh? Yeah, but
she's not one of you guys.
That's why. Yeah, but you can't. You can't sit
there's
at
no
the table.
Rules, Ricky. There's
Ricky.
No rules.
Ricky, you can't
there's
sit
no,
at the table.
There's no rules.
You're Donnie Brasco'd in. Voss isn't here. You're not banging anybody else. You gotta go. That's the whole point.
I saw Patrice get mad at Jim one time, and I agreed with Jim. And I was like, why the fuck is Patrice? And then that made it even more, like, unsettling. Like, yeah. I don't even know where the rules are here.
Yeah.
Like, Jim was on a date, and fucking Patrice was fucking trying to get Jim's attention, and Jim was so afraid that Patrice was going to say something so rude it was going to fuck up his pussy for the night, so he's ignoring him. And at that time, Jim was opening for fucking Dice on the Road, so Patrice starts yelling to Jim in this Dice character.
Oh!
Yeah, going, hey, Jim, let's go to the mall. Oh! Like saying shit Dice would say on the road to him. So we're all dying laughing. And the woman he's with is hearing Jim's name and not seeing Jim turn around. She's figuring it out. And finally, Jim went over and said something to Patrice. Like, I'm trying to fucking get laid. And he went over there. And then Patrice got mad.
Yeah.
And then was trying to tell me for an hour why he was right. And the whole time in my head, I was like, no, Jim's right.
Yeah.
You were totally cock blocking him, and he wouldn't do that to you. And then it just was like, and it was basically everybody had their own fucking set of rules.
So the rules was you couldn't if you got moralistic and said, no, who's right, then you've broken the rules and you're in the wrong, are you? Do
no,
you know what I mean?
Everybody is wrong and everybody's right. It was fucking chaos. And that's why it was like, it was not. It's
but then
not
that's
something
that,
to
but
just,
that's but I suppose that wasn't nice then. You didn't like it. You didn't.
But here's the thing. If there were rules, then you could know where the fucking next thing was coming. But the fact that there was no
the
fucking
word.
Rules, you just sort of walk in going, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yep.
But Eddie Ifs, the funniest thing about Patrice said one night, he came walking in and he was trying to slink in. He was on the whole other side of the fucking olive tree. And then Patrice yelled, hey, Eddie, I see you. Something, blah, blah, blah. And he seen his thought was, fuck, he saw me.
Yeah.
And then he just knew. It was like, all right, this is going to be at least 20 minutes long unless this person walks in not knowing Patrice is here or whatever. It was just literally bullying. It was just schoolyard bullying.
Yeah,
there was nothing productive about
but
it.
But isn't that weird comedy?
I disagree
with that. There's nothing productive about it. I think it was actually...
I think we lied to ourselves.
I think it was funny. It was some of the best times of my life. The time that I got smashed for wearing a fucking evening gown... If they didn't make fun of me for that, I would have fucking
I agree
never ever I would
I agree with that. I agree with that.
But if you'd have what would they have said to you that made you fucking cry?
Made me cry. Because
really?
It was 45 minutes in the car and it never ended.
For wearing
and
shit trousers.
I can't remember what they said, but it was each one was funnier and funnier and they were having such a good time.
At your expense.
It brought me back to when I was a kid.
Well, that's
and
that's
I used
it.
To get bullied.
Yeah,
I'm glad that they did that because
see, you'd stop wearing cat suits.
But yeah, I mean, but I understand what Billy's saying too. That if we could have just took 10% of the,
I'm
the,
just trying to be
bullshit,
honest about it.
Yeah,
it gets romanticized, and
it
that's
does.
What we
no,
did,
I,
and we
I,
all
I
became great.
Well,
it definitely was a lot of fun nights. It's definitely something.
I agree
with all
what
that.
You're saying too,
and then the other side was very fucking damned. Yeah. Like, dude, you don't know the amount of people because I used to still play the strip.
Yeah,
there was people who used to hide. At another comedy club, they wanted to work down there and wanted to audition, but did not want to go through the gauntlet of that just fucking
now
humiliation.
Now it's gone, though.
Oh, no. It's like somebody said it's like a fucking coffee bean down
there. You go down there now, and it's, you know, it's not. There's none of that. So unless every once in a while, I'll be, you know, we're all kind of.
I try not to be the old guy.
We'll kind of all be there. If we're all there, like Keith, I'll show up if Keith, Norton, Voss. It will. I'll walk in. They'll be laughing.
You know
what's happening because I'm at the door and I hear them laughing.
And is there resentment? Do you think in the scene? Because it's very different in England anyway. But do you get the look at him? He's done the Golden Globes. No. When someone
now you're showing weakness. And then I'd be like, you got to get Ricky on the Golden Globes.
He just
Globes.
Did an
like
Audi
that.
Advert.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I thought doing the Globes would be a lot worse than doing an Audi advert. I thought that would be no.
Audi
sorry, no. Other way around. I thought doing an advert would be much worse than doing the Golden Globes.
No, it's an Audi. If you were doing a Hyundai advert,
oh, is it what car you do?
Do you drive an Audi?
There's no selling out anymore because the whole fucking thing blew up, and now there's no money in anything. So now you just have to do whatever the fuck you can do.
Yeah.
Like, there's no money. There's no money. Like yeah. I guess if you do, if you're one of the superheroes in a movie, you can make money. But
yeah, and I've changed my tune as well, because when I started, I thought, oh, selling out, and then you're
Bill
right.
Hicks had that great bit.
Every alternative comic that is in an animation right now. Every alternative comic that was like that selling out, you can see him as a frog, a dog, alien.
Someone said to me, hey, why the fuck? So on Twitter, someone said, why the fuck did you do the Audi advert? And I said, $3 million for 4 hours work.
Really a sellout is when
you did I don't even mean
it. He did the dog on the robot dog on Spy Kids.
I did.
Yeah, you did, you little fucking riff.
I don't even remember that. That was
not. He was a fucking little robot dog. He tried to sneak it in too. Hello. He tried to fuck up his accent just a little bit so you can.
He went a little higher.
You did.
Falsetto, Ricky.
It wasn't. He tried to do a dog robot voice.
I did. No, I know. I know.
I watch it 9 times a week. I gotta watch.
What is it? What's the film?
This bugs me too. I haven't done one film. He's done so many.
He doesn't even remember.
What was the film?
What's the film again?
What is it?
Spy Kids. Yeah, Spy Kids. Yeah.
He remembers.
I know. He played one dog in.
No, it wasn't. There was a number. It wasn't Spy Kids. It was like 3 or 4 or something.
It was the later Spy Kids with the other Spy Kids. The newer Spy Kids.
I didn't watch it myself.
You didn't watch it? You didn't see yourself as the robot dog? Actually one of your...
I on the poster?
You're really good.
I on the poster? The dog.
He knows the answers to all of these questions. He knows the name of the movie. He knew when it came out. He knew he was on the poster.
It's on...
It was part of the negotiation. He probably watches it at home by himself.
Hey, can I tell you why he knows? He probably gets more money from that fucking dog movie in residuals.
I bet it was fuck all.
Than The Office. Those movies are fucking big.
It wouldn't have been much.
I guarantee that's big. All right, I guarantee it.
Go on, what do you think it is?
I guarantee it's fucking more than you got for the movie. You've gotten in residuals. Like, I'm talking, you've probably gotten hundreds of thousands of dollars in residuals.
That doesn't happen, Bob.
Buddy, movie is a kid's movie that gets bought everywhere.
Yeah.
What?
No. I thought you said it was a lot.
They're not giving the money to the person who did it.
That was a good one, you cocksucker.
It was probably hundreds of thousands.
When I was first got to New York, I was talking to Jay Moore's money manager. We were at a concert, and I'm like, "Yeah, maybe you'll manage my money someday if I get like $100,000." He goes, "That's not money." I was like, "What?" All right.
What kind of a fucking thing is that to say? You know, when I first moved to New York, I went to a wedding. A buddy of mine, I was at his wedding, and there was another guy like in some finance or some shit. And I was just like, he goes, he introduced me. He goes, oh yeah, Bill, this is Bill. He just moved to New York. He lives in New York City too. And the guy goes, oh really? He goes, what building? And I was like, 388 59th Street. I didn't know that. Like, it built that. I had no idea. And I came back, and somebody told me. He goes, "No, that was a snobby question." Because like those ones with the doorman, they always have some fucking name.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know,
you have a house in England. How many houses you get? 5.
I thought you guys never can because the tax man takes like 90% of your money over there. Isn't that why?
40. Yeah.
Take 40?
40. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Which I'm very happy to pay.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the welfare state.
Are you
so
really?
I'm happy, yeah.
Yeah.
I like
you have an Audi?
I don't drive.
You did an Audi? You don't drive at all.
No.
You did a car commercial.
Yeah.
And you don't even know how to
fucking sellout I am.
Yeah, no, but if Shaq can do a Buick commercial, like he could even fit in one of those fucking things.
Do you know Shaq, what a company just bought him for 2 years? And he has to do whatever they want him to do.
That's crazy.
That's why you see him in all like the general commercial, all these weird fucked up commercials. A big company just went, listen, we're going to give you, I don't know the number, say $50 million, but you have to do.
That's not money.
That's not money.
Guys, I'm a thousandaire. I don't know what you're talking about.
Selling your estate?
Selling
your estate for them using like photos of you, like Muhammad Ali did it.
Does anybody want a 3-bedroom ranch in Westchester, mid-century contemporary?
It means they can use your photo for like commercials without asking you because they bought the rights to your
estate.
Image. Yeah,
yeah, estate. Yeah. That's it. Yes.
I'll play a song. Hold on, I'll play a song.
Tiptoe through the tulips.
Is that me?
I just want to hear you say that in your accent.
All we need is love by my friends.
Again, is this a roast? Because this isn't going to make me cry.
Just pull the
guys,
leg down, please.
We're going easy on you.
Look at little Ricky's calves.
Tom Petty, Learning to Fly. Fuck you. Tom Petty, Learning to Fly. Well, that was another episode of Ricky Gervais' Deadly Serious with Bob Kelly and Bill Burr. Check out Bob Kelly on tour, Creeps with Kids on tour on creepswithkids.com. And check out Bill Burr dates as well on billburr.com. Cheers. Bye.